Resow Report, brought to you by Local Waste Services. When you're looking for waste and recycling services, don't throw your money out with the trash. Invest in the local economy by working with a company run by local families right here in Edmonton. localwaste.ca. Ryan Resow joins us now. Shagar, how are you?
Resow. Got to roll the
Resow.
R.
Oh, Resow. Resow. Okay.
Let's have that end today.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. We're very big on proper enunciation.
Great.
Resow. Oh, Resow. Oh, I love it. Ethan Bear, Shagar, looks like he's coming back in. Are you expecting seven defensemen tonight?
Good question. I could see that. I could see them wanting to get Ethan Bear back in, but also not want to be one bump away from being down to five defensemen. Pretty valuable 2 points. Excuse me. And I think if you're going to take a chance, you probably take a chance being down a forward than having to be down to five defensemen. So it would kind of make some sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially when, no offense to Patrick Russell, but he's the forward that comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, you pull him out, and then you double shift McDavid, Draisaitl, onto that fourth line where you need to. You get a little bit of breathing room on the back end, Ethan Bear, if he's not feeling it, or, see how it goes. And I think Tippett he's done it a couple of times. He's spoken somewhat favorably about it. So, yeah, I can see him doing it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a good problem to have. Having too much depth on the blue line, especially too much right defense depth, is something literally that's never happened in my watch of 20 years covering the beat. And even before that, even when the Oilers were winning Stanley Cups, they used to win with five lefties. So it's just it's always been kind of something. And obviously when you're winning cup, and you don't need it all the time, but heck, they just didn't have enough good defense. But not on
They've come a long way from the Corey Potter and Anton Belov days. On the back end.
Corey Perry. Man, I used to chuckle when some guy, yeah, but look at Corey Perry's analytics. I mean, Corey Potter's analytics. I'm like, stop. I don't care what number you're trying to tell me. He was not an NHL defenseman if you're going to win games. I'm sorry. Like, hey, he was an NHL defenseman, played in the league, good for him. But he was not a guy that was going to play on successful teams.
Yeah.
No chance about that. Mike Smith, Koskinen. Now, the Oilers, starting Saturday, they play 18 games in 31 days, a stretch where they actually have 10 in 16 days. So you know that both are going to go. Tippett, he explained, hey, I liked how he played in the third period, battle back, and he's going to go with him. Do you think he's going with Smith tonight, Shagar? Because Smith's not afraid to be vocal. He's one of the vocal leaders on this team. And, you know, this is a game where, hey, you're the best team in the league right now over the last 3 weeks. You're playing the worst team in the league in that same stretch of time. Everybody knows what's coming up. McDavid, Matthews, Draisaitl, Marner. Everybody knows that's coming. That maybe Smith, just because he's more vocal, is a part of it, and he's playing well?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much the vocal part of it comes into his decision on who to start. I mean, I think different guys bring different traits. That's one he brings that I think he probably likes, and I think it paid off for them last game. You know, sounds like he was pretty fiery, which was good for them. I think it's just about riding a guy that's got a really hot hand right now. Like, you look at his numbers that he's put up outside of the start there that you talked about. He's got some pretty good numbers, and, you know, like, the Oilers have a chance to put some legitimate distance between themselves and Vancouver. They got a chance to pull closer to Toronto. And I just think he's got a guy that's playing real well, and they both got the day rest, and so he's just rolling with the hot hand. Like, it wouldn't surprise me to see him start Smith in this game, and if he wins, to start Smith in the next game. Like, I could see that. And that's what I asked him today. Are you kind of open-minded to the idea that it might not be the equal split that you planned coming in if someone's, you know, grabbing onto this thing? He wasn't going to say that. He basically just, in his sort of somewhat grumpy fashion, was like, I'm open-minded to winning. So, like, he's not going to share that with us. But, I mean, listen, he's 6 of 8 starts or 7 of 9 or something since Smith's been healthy that he's gone with the guys? So it's kind of happening before our eyes, isn't it?
Yeah, I think a little bit. But I also think it has to do with the guy who's playing very well. And you roll with him because you probably could get away with it for another 10 days, but after that, your rotation's out the window because you've got three sets of back-to-back in a stretch of 16 games. You're playing 10 games in 16 days. You're going to be playing both goalies a lot in March.
Yeah, and I think he knows that.
Yeah.
He says, you know, we're going to need both guys. but they've got some games coming up here that are spaced out. And he's got one guy rocking and rolling and piling up the wins. And it just seems to me like he's gravitating towards Mike Smith and the quality of play that he's getting from him. The other thing, too, is, you know, Smith makes a difference when he's making good decisions. He makes a difference in breaking the puck out for defensemen, right? So for Ethan Bear coming back in to the lineup, having Mike Smith putting it on a tee for you, having Mike Smith breaking the forecheck up a little bit is not the worst thing in the world. So I think they like that element of his game at times, and it can make a difference for them.
Yeah, and the other thing is Mike Smith with the puck, I'd say way more often than not he makes the right decision with the puck. And
he's been good this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, and even last year, like there's a few times that it didn't work 100%, and then when it doesn't work, it's glaringly obvious. But he makes way more good plays with the puck and without, and it does help. Like you see how many times he'll just come out, the forecheck is immediately stopped, and Edmonton transitions the puck right back the other way. Like it makes it so much easier for them for sure.
Yep, and you want the forwards getting that thing in stride, and he makes a difference that way. So I just wonder if. With, you know, the defenseman coming back in and, just might like the sure-handedness and the puck-moving ability for this game more than the alternative. So, but, I mean, listen, like, based on his numbers, he should be playing a ton. He's got fantastic numbers right now.
You look at the Vancouver Canucks. Do you think there's any chance if they continue the tailspin? Do the Canucks do what the Montreal Canadiens did? Do they make a coaching change for a guy who doesn't have a contract past the season?
Yeah, you just heard what Aquilini said a week ago, which at times is kind of, that almost seems like the kiss of death at times.
100%.
But my sense about that one was it was a little more legit, a little bit more, no, they're going to follow through. Like he's not saying that to just take the pressure off, and yet he's still got plans of doing it. I think it would take a pretty significant slide. But I mean, none of us would be surprised, right? Like it is what it is. It's a results oriented business, and they haven't been good enough, and they haven't been getting the results. So regardless of what the owner might say last week, I think you go into the ditch for, 6 out of 8 or whatever it is. You definitely put yourself in peril. It's a short season, but they're to the point now where they're getting pretty far behind it, aren't they?
No. 100%. Like, you look at how well that they have to play like the Oilers did for a decade and have a great 3 months to get in, and we saw it. It never happened, right? Like, usually, after 20 games, you are, for the most part, I know there's the St. Louis Blues example that's the exception, but for the most part, kind of who you are then is who you're going to be. If anything, we've seen some teams who had really good starts flounder more so than teams who had really bad starts suddenly just turn it up all season long. Like, it's just very rare to see it happen.
Yeah, so what are they, 4 back of the Canadians right now for 4th place? So the math really starts working against you, and then they've played more games than anybody else too, which is a real problem for them. They got 23 games under their belt already. They've won 8 times. Like, you're not going on any sort of run. I mean, yeah. We'll see what happens, but it's not going in a great direction for them right now, that's for sure.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, you look at the Edmonton Oilers, and now with a team that's playing this well, they have a chance to move into sole possession of the fourth best start in franchise history through 22 games, get their 14th win in 22 games, something that hasn't happened since October, November of 1985. Conn Man wasn't even born then, so that's how long it's been. And, you just kind of look for them to refine their game and move forward and look at different elements. If there's one thing on this team I still think they struggle with is too often I see them with possession, a little bit of pressure, and they don't get it out within the first, 6 feet of their blue line. If there's one area of their game that still concerns me, it's that 6-foot zone inside their blue line where I still see guys with possession and they don't get it out.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. And I think there's more of a focus on making plays. Like, guys are trying to make plays, which I don't mind to a certain degree, but I think off the glass and out needs to be a little bit more acceptable, a little bit more okay, no matter who you're on the ice with. So if you're out there with the McDavid line, ideally, sure, it's a tape-to-tape pass with momentum, but you need to be okay with flipping it off the glass and out and not feel the pressure to try and make some magical play every time, especially if you're under pressure. But I do feel like there's been more of an emphasis put on trying to make those plays. And so I think at times that extra second they spend looking for the play as opposed to just safe, you know, the Strutty special off the glass and out. He's probably driving in his car listening right now. But I think that it's in an effort to be making plays. I think the forwards, too, even in some cases. So a little bit of simplifying, especially in tight games, excuse me, and just make the play that you know. Yeah, you might give up possession, but just keep it safe. I've liked their play at the offensive blue line. I think they're making more plays at the offensive blue line. More guys are making plays. I don't know what the statistics show on their controlled entries, but they feel like a better controlled entry team to me this year than they did before, that they're more consistent with that. But I agree with you on the zone exits.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a small little thing, but you know, you're just looking at that little details for this team to improve on moving forward. Now, you look around the division, and Calgary last night, pretty tough loss. They're leading that game 1-0 with 4 minutes left. They end up, Nylander ties it, and then he wins it in overtime, and so they go from looking like they have 2 points where they get one. Now, they did that without Markstrom, but he's out again tonight. And, you know, you look at Calgary struggling a bit, Vancouver, if the Oilers can win tonight, like they really set themselves up to the race then becomes for home ice advantage, not necessarily a playoff spot.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, the Oilers, the way they're playing right now, I mean, listen, what are they? They're 6 points back on the Maple Leafs with three games against them coming up. I mean, you go in and you find a way to grab 4 of the 6 points somehow, then I don't know if they'll be able to or not. Maybe they'll lose all three. I'm not sure. But what a great setup for the series coming up here. I mean, Edmonton, a few points back, trying to chase them down. They've now played the same amount of games. You know, Edmonton's beaten them already this year. All the star power that'll be rocking in those games. Like, that's going to be a great three-game set, I think. You know, I think it's got potential to be really interesting. And the Oilers can just, I mean, think about the way they could position themselves. If they can come out and grab some significant points out of that, then they're in fantastic shape. So they've shown that they're probably, you know, they're probably the second-best team in this division, although Winnipeg will have something to say about that. And they've got an opportunity to really put an exclamation point on that over the next week here.
Rizal, have yourself a great day.
All right, my friend.
We will talk to you tomorrow, my man.
Enjoy the game, buddy. See ya.